Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Horny? H-R-O-N-Y? Horny?
This is The Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
All right, I want to begin the today's episode by talking about amputation. And I know it's not a pleasant subject. And I'm not trying to make fun of it, but it's such a weird story out of Kansas City. You remember less than 2 months ago, there was that Arctic sub-freezing playoff game where the Chiefs beat the Dolphins 26-7, and it was the fourth coldest game in history. Well, several weeks later, people are getting body parts amputated because of severe frostbite they suffered in mid-January. And it's really a terrible story. In retrospect, the NFL should never have played that game. They should have postponed it. But they played it, and a lot of people got severely hurt. And, you know, when you hear the word amputation, you're thinking the worst, arms and legs and stuff like that. Well, people are getting fingers and toes and everything amputated and because of this. And it made me wonder, if you had to get a body part amputated,
wow,
what would it be? And I was thinking, I think I'd like my second toe, the one right next to the little toe. I think I'd either want my second toe or my right ear. I wouldn't want a finger. I don't feel like I'd miss the toe. I don't think it would make me limp or anything.
Yeah.
And I feel like the technology exists to make a wonderful prosthetic ear.
Man, I thought you had a great first choice, and then that second choice was just horrific.
Why?
Like your ear?
Prosthetic ear. Yes.
Like, are you still going to be able to hear?
Yes. I don't think the ear is not what allows you to hear.
Yeah, because all the innards are still there.
Yeah, right.
Nah, so in my mind, without your ear, you don't hear.
Okay, well, I don't think that's true medically. Or
look, it wouldn't change Greg's like front-facing look anyway. You can't see his ears as no. It is.
It's so as
like,
if it's I have no ears.
It's a Cody thing.
Right, yeah. No one would know, like right. Looking dead on.
I never noticed that until you mentioned that a few weeks ago, by the way. When I look straight at myself, I have no ears.
Same.
It's crazy. But what would you guys have amputated?
I love that you've decided that amputation is something we can make fun of.
Well,
like I'm good with that. Like I'm with you. I'm jumping on this train with you. Like it's one of those things like baldness we can make fun of.
Sure.
You know, but like there's a line somewhere, and I guess amputation is good. We're good
here. I
don't
think we're making fun of it, but we were talking, if we were in that situation and we had to choose, okay, I'm going to go to this game and it's going to result in an amputation, but I have a choice over what will be amputated.
How many amputations in terms of people that are dealing with amputations are we talking about here?
I think we're talking about dozens.
Now, I'm just like, I don't live in the cold. So when I go to places that are cold, I like over warm because I just don't know this. Like, is this on the people who live here? Are these like South Florida? Are these a lot of Miami people?
The story I read identifies them as Chiefs fans. But that may be an assumption.
Are these arrogant people that think that they're so used to the cold?
It could
like,
be.
Like, are people dumb? Is this like people getting hit by trains where you're like, it's probably your fault.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where
right,
it's like,
right.
Is this, or is it just legitimately, it was so cold that this is the NFL's fault? I don't know if I should be like, should we be blaming the NFL is what I'm asking right now.
Well, in retrospect, yes. At the time, I don't remember a lot of people saying they need to postpone this game. But in retrospect, it's become a medical crisis in Kansas City.
Yeah, but there were 70,000 people there, and only I don't know how many people fit in that stadium. I just said a number, but like, and only 36 people. Like it seems like most people had this figured out.
Oh, I've got a take on it that it's both the NFL and the people are culpable. It's like you didn't have to go. You chose to go and be out in it. Yes, but we have proven time again, and the NFL needs to understand this, that humans are going to do the dumbest thing when team pride or fandom is on the line. I mean, look, we'll equate it to something from apples and oranges, but like there shouldn't have to be laws that say don't kill people, don't murder people.
Right.
But because humans time and time again kill people and murder people,
Myrtle.
Kill people and murder people, We have to put laws in place that say, don't do that. And here's punishment if it happens. It doesn't stop it, but it, you know, maybe deters a little. So the NFL, hey, people are going to be really dumb here. I mean, but also think about your players. Why would we want to subject our players that make us money to that? Put it off a day or two. It sucks, but it might.
No, they should have done that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, or is this, are these people that are dealing with amputation, actually they were wearing the proper stuff and the cold just like got through like that? Then it's like, okay, NFL, I love how I'm just asking questions here. Dad, you
didn't
tell
me the research.
You didn't tell me we were going to talk about this. So like, which I don't mind. We, you know, we fly by the seat of our pants here.
Yeah.
Did I get that saying right?
Where did
that
say? Yeah.
Why did I say that?
I want somebody to Google and research real quickly whether there is such a thing as a prosthetic ear. Okay, that's number one. Yeah, because I almost feel like I could, you know, quite frankly, replace both of my ears.
But they don't make a prosthetic Cody ear. Now we're talking expensive because my, like, all of a sudden we're going to see one of your ears. You know how we can't see?
Right.
People are going to think the ear you're missing is the ear you have because they're going to walk up to you and be like, oh, I don't see an ear on the right side. And that's actually because you actually do have an ear there. But then the prosthetic ear is going to be sticking out.
The answer is yes, they do. Yes, they do make prosthetic ears. Yep.
Ones you can't.
They also make prosthetic testicles. Did you know that, Greg?
I don't want to go there.
What don't they make prosthetic ears?
True.
What's like, give me something on the body that I can't get a prosthetic.
I can't think of anything.
A penis?
They have those.
Okay. That was a quick answer from Yeti.
Yesterday, this is related to what we're talking about. Yesterday at the Jim March Memorial I spoke at, I ran into someone who was at that game in Kansas City. Our friend of the show, Hal Habib.
Dad, I just want to jump in here and thank you for transitioning to Jim Martz as we're looking up if you can have a prosthetic penis.
Right.
Like,
I just want to
let you know that is a chef's kiss of a, from one topic to another.
Yeah. Jim also, God rest him, his soul, never had a prosthetic ear that I'm aware of. But Hal Habib told me that he had a short walk from his car to the stadium, and in that short walk, it was so cold that by the time he got indoors, he could not feel his face. His entire face was red, and he literally could not feel it. It was numb to the touch. And that was after just a minute in that cold.
Hal Habib is a tiny man.
So transition back. Yes, there are penile implants, penile prosthesis, for various reasons, both from gender-affirming surgery to also they have implants for those who suffer from erectile dysfunction as well.
Yeah, okay.
But there are methods of penile prosthesis.
Thank you, Yeti.
Delete search history.
I'm far more interested in the prosthetic ear because I feel like that could be the next wave. That could be the next wave in cosmetic surgery.
We are all over the place right now. I want to get back to Hal Habib. Dad, don't small people get colder than you? Like, you gave me a weird look when I said that. Like, the fact that Hal Habib is really tiny, like, has to play a factor in how cold he got walking.
Okay, first of all,
probably doesn't have as much insulation on his body.
Like,
I've not met Hal.
Ridiculous. Yeah. First of all, he's not abnormally small. He's like 5'6".
If me, Yeti, and Hal all walk into like a very cold setting, Yeti and I are going to have the meat on us to keep us warmer. Like, we will survive longer.
Probably. Some of it does come down to your circulation too. Some people, even like larger like me, might have bad circulation. I'll get cold faster.
Yeti, I have great circulation.
Depends where we're talking. Did you just ask your wife? Is like, isn't that right?
I looked over at her because she's doing like the dishes right now, and I thought she was gonna look at me, but she didn't even bat an eye.
You didn't get a look. Good.
Yeah, you guys don't have a dishwasher, do you?
We do have a dishwasher. Yeah.
Then why is she doing the dishes?
Her name is Christy. No, I'm kidding. We do have a dishwasher.
Oh, and yet you do dishes by hand?
I mean, yes. I mean, don't you do that too? I mean,
I put them in the dishwasher.
Not everything can go in the dishwasher, Greg. I've learned that the hard way by getting in trouble.
Oh, okay. I can't think of anything that doesn't. I want to tell you I had a dream last night. And the reason that's notable is that I never dream or I never remember my dreams. Yeah, they like disappear.
Them. I'm pretty sure everyone dreams and you just don't remember them.
It could be. I'm not a dream expert, but I had a dream that I was in a rental car. The rental car got away from me and I was literally chasing after my rental car, my unoccupied rental car, for what seemed like 5 miles. And it was, the rental car was like going up hills and making turns. And I just, it was going slow enough where I could keep it in sight, but not fast enough where I could find it. It was the weirdest thing. And eventually it crashed into somebody, but minor damage, and a cop could not have been more than kind. All I did was get a ticket, and that's where the dream ended. But I have no idea I guess the dime store psychology of that dream would be that I'm chasing after something in my life, or I can't, you know, I don't know. What do you guys dream? Like, is that?
We had a dream expert on. Like, I think she was a kook, but
yeah, I don't believe in dream experts.
Like, we were like, I was like, I have cruise because I have dreams about being on a cruise a decent amount. Like, at least I used to. I don't really anymore. But like, this lady had an answer for everything. Like, anything you had reoccurring, she would be like, well, that means.
Right. Really? Yeah. Like, how do you know? Like, you're just saying that it means something, and enough people say it, and we'll start to believe it. I'm weird on the dream expert thing because
I am too.
You'll also find if you look it up, you'll find contradictory interpretations too.
Right.
It could mean this, but it could mean this. It's like, okay, so it could mean anything.
Right. By the way, I did research while I was while you guys were talking. All people and many animals dream when they sleep, though not everyone later remembers what they dreamed.
Yeah, I seldom do. That's why this was so weird to wake up with this memory of it. My philosophy is dreams are 100% random. They don't necessarily signify anything, and there's no way to accurately analyze what, if anything, they mean. That's my thought, but I'm sure dream experts out there are saying, he's full of shit. But, you know, it's I have a new pet peeve. Okay, I want to get to that because...
This is the most ADD I've seen, Greg. Let's go.
I have a lot of pet peeves, and I'm surprised this didn't count as one until last week when I pardon me, when I ran across this in the wild. My newest pet peeve is waitresses or waiters who snap gum, who chew gum while asking you for your order. I think it's the rudest thing in the world. It happened to me last week in a restaurant. She was a great waitress.
A greatress.
You know, very young, attractive woman.
Dad.
What?
What are you doing?
What do you mean? I'm saying she was a young, attractive woman. I can't say that.
Sure. Well, you just did.
Yeah. What's wrong with that? I'm complimenting her. But she was snapping gum. And it's like a cow chewing its cud. And the cud.
What?
Yeah, and the
cud. No, he's right. Like, this is not an uncommon take.
Yeah, it's unattractive.
No, I was just more like that reference, a cow like chewing, like that was
chewing its cud. That's a cop. Yeah. I've heard that reference plenty in my life.
All right.
Yeah, and the cud, by the way, is food that has been digested.
And what is going on with your voice right now?
I know. Pardon me.
I love how the irony of you hosting an audio podcast. And judging the delivery of a waitress while you are like hacking up like as you sip more milk and coffee.
You're talking about someone else's imperfections while you are just
it is what you just did is art.
Yes. Well, let the record state I am not chewing gum while having difficulty to speak.
Exactly. You should be.
My grandma would slap you if you were chewing gum in church. That was her thing. She didn't care if you chewed gum, but you don't do that in church.
Yeah. I don't even care if you're chewing it silently. Just the motion of the mouth is unbecoming. And the cud, I meant to complete my sentence. A cud is food that's been chewed and then re-enters the mouth for re-chewing. So it's a disgusting thing.
Dad, but that's gum what would comes help, off. Gum would help your sound right now.
Anything would help my sound right now because I'm constantly clearing my throat. I think I'm battling a cold, quite frankly.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I think I am.
Just battled one a month
Stephen
ago.
Stephen A. Smith?
I did. I got up in the middle of the night two nights ago to ingest a Claritin because I was so stuffed up. But nobody wants to hear about that. Christopher yelled at me over breakfast the other day because I was engaging a waitress who was not chewing gum in conversation because her name was Rhonda. She introduced herself, which I appreciate.
Because of how slow you talk.
I appreciate when a waitress introduces herself.
How quickly did you sing the song?
Dude.
Well, I said to her, how often in your life has someone said to you the phrase, help me, Rhonda?
Before you give her answer, I want to paint the picture because this is a crowded diner. Like, there's like three waitresses in here. This place is packed. Yeah. Like, these ladies come up. They're like, they're moving and dealing. They're like, what do you guys ready to order? Nope. All right. I'll be back in a minute. Like, they are not. Yeah. And my dad, in his slow, hey, I'd like, we weren't ready to order yet. So this was like, hey, we're not ready to order yet. But before you go, Like, and he was just like moving so slow. So when he was building up, I was in my mind like, she is not ready for this. Like, she doesn't want this right now. She wants to keep moving. But then he like, you know, how often did the beach do you get help Miranda? And she's like, and she loved it. She was like, oh, the other day I had this table. Her name was Rhonda. And we had the same middle name. Like, she was.
Oh, she actually did love it. She wasn't being sarcastic.
I was so wrong.
Holy crap. A win for Greg on what should have been kind of a cringy, embarrassing moment.
As soon as she walked away, I like admitted defeat to my dad, even though he didn't know. I was like, in my mind, I was rooting against you. And then she.
Yeah.
Like, just bit right into it. Like, he could not have said a more perfect sentence for this lady. Like, she went on for like 30 seconds about being named Rhonda.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. And the strategy there was that the woman was my age.
It was so, two old people. That was the strategy.
So I knew that she was familiar with Help Me Rhonda, that she had grown up with the Beach Boys just by her age. And sure enough, and the answer to my question, how often do people say some form of the Help Me Rhonda joke? And she said, every day.
Dad, what did I say right when you walked away? Right when she walked away, what did I say to you?
I can't recall.
I was like, wow, what an old conversation.
It was. About Help Me Rhonda.
No, well, you know, just like,
we're not making Rhonda.
The whole interaction
anymore.
Was just, I mean, I was nice. I'm not like, it was just, it couldn't have been older though.
No, it was funny though. If she was a 20-year-old waitress, I never would have said that because she's like, who? Help
if,
me what?
If she was a Beach? Young, what? If she was a young, good looking waitress, you would have never said that.
I have a name update actually from a story from a couple weeks ago.
Ooh, an update.
Remember a couple weeks ago, I asked how long you've had maybe a friendship with someone but not known their name.
Yes.
Or you talk to someone regularly. So, nameless bus lady and I were on the same bus again this week. It had been a couple weeks due to schedules.
You should play a little clip of like her right now or something that you
I wish I could. But we were walking to the office and I said, so I have a story to tell you. I talked about you on our podcast the other day. And she says, oh, really? And I said, so how long have we been walking to the office together? And like two and a half years. She's like, yeah. And I said, and I had to admit on the air that I didn't know your name. And I told her the scenario. And I said, do you know my name? She says, no.
Oh, wow. So,
but Linda. It's nice to nice to learn your name again. And this time I'll remember it. Here, it's been 4 days now. I remember it. Linda.
Wow.
So there we go.
And you're like, I'm Yeti.
I told her my government name.
Yeah.
Now Linda is also has to be an older woman. We're not making Lindas anymore.
She's in her 50s. Yeah. I mean, she's older than me, so right. Younger than you, but who isn't?
Exactly. By the way, I mentioned the Kansas City Chiefs earlier, so I have to say this really quickly. Do you guys know there's a fake Adam Schefter who reports stuff that simply isn't true?
You mean on Twitter?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And he has like 700 followers.
There's fake. Yeah. There's fake Woj. Like there's a lot of.
I know. It's a scourge. This is one of the many reasons why I don't like what Twitter has devolved into.
I mean, Dad, that's before like Elon. Like there were fake accounts before Elon. Like we can't. I'm not saying what Elon's doing with Twitter is good, but it like I don't think that one aspect we can blame on him.
Okay.
It's been going on for years. It's been a running joke on Levitard how Stugatz will. Yeah, Stugatz famously reported someone going to the Ravens, I can't remember who it was, because of the account Spots Centra,
and has
instead this of SC Center. Logo, and it says not at the top. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's gotten more, there are more of them, but yeah.
Go
it's
ahead,
a thing, it's been a thing
though,
for a long time.
Go ahead, you called it a scourge, you were going to go. Go ahead, Dad. Cook.
What's dangerous is that the things fake Adam Schefter reports are very plausible, like... He does his homework. Like he reported.
I love my dad discovering fake Twitter accounts. This segment is called Greg Cody Discovers Things on Twitter.
Okay, I'm not on Twitter that often. Okay, believe it or not.
Can you guys believe that there are people pretending to be Uber drivers?
Okay. The reason that fake Adam Schefter and other fakes are dangerous is when they report stuff that is very, very plausible.
Right.
For example, he reported falsely that the Dolphins and Tua Tagovailoa had agreed to a 4-year, $190 million contract extension. That is approximately what will happen if they come to a deal.
Do you understand that that's the game?
Right.
Like when you're making these tweets, like if he put Tua Tagovailoa is getting 14 years for $798 million,
right.
Everyone would know that it was fake.
Right.
It's the newer version of someone sending someone's wife a letter on official looking letterhead, claim making certain claims, but we're not going to talk about that.
Okay.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point, too. Yeah, we're not going to talk about that.
I don't know what we're talking about. Yeti,
Yeehaw, three. Ba-dam.
Yeti, I want to play your Chris Whittingham song on this show.
Okay.
I love that song.
Have you heard it, Greg?
I don't think I have. No. What's it called?
Here, let me paint the picture. It's Chris Whittingham, who is a turncoat on the Panthers. Yeah. Because they traded Huberto last year. He got dug in on the take.
Right.
That they shouldn't have traded Huberto and that Tkachuk has, quote, empty stats.
Yeah.
And he just has this, and he's not even on a radio show anymore that talks about hockey. So it's not right. Like, if this take was like a bit on a show, I'd be like, this is a good take. Like, you're zigging when everyone's zagging, right. Whatever. Like, but he's just doing it. And he's like, he lives in like New York now, and he was at a Rangers game wearing a Rangers shirt.
Yeah.
Like against the Panthers. Yeah. So he's
Greg Coat.
So everyone in our Panthers group chat hates him right now. And Yeti got inspired and did a beaut.
You're mad they traded Huberto for a brand new love, and I'm like Tkachuk, your name is Chris Whittingham, you said it wasn't enough, I'm like Tkachuk, it's crazy, you disfrage, Lomberg's kicking it in high gear, you pick Trocheck, I'm rolling with Barkey, the bandwagon don't need you here. You missed on Matthew, and all they do for you. Well, he's a goal-getter, Whittingham is so bitter. Ooh, I got some news for you. Coward, go tell your little New York friends. You're mad they traded Huberto for a brand new love, and I'm like, Tkachuk, your name is Chris Whittingham, you said it wasn't enough. I'm like, Tkachuk, you times two. You slept with a stranger, the New York Rangers. And that's some coward shit.
That's coward shit.
While you still fancy dress, the ice cats are the best. That's right, Tkachuk, you.
Hitting the penis.
Tkachuk, you times two, Chris Whittingham.
Wow, that was good. That was banging.
How great is Yeti at writing songs about teams he has no clue about? Like, that is really good. I mean, Yeti, I know he like hears us say names, so he like kind of knows the names, but that's just right. Yeti always texts me. He's like, yep, didn't know anything about this team right after he writes like a banger.
Out of the last several songs that I've done for the show, this is the one I knew the most about.
Like Puka Nacua, you didn't know anything about him.
I'd never heard of Puka before. I don't know anything about gambling, but I got the Travis Kelce song. Yeah, there's been a couple more. But I texted Whitty and let him know it was happening, and he says, all in good fun. He says, he's a garbage player, ruined the franchise. So he's doubling down, tripling down.
It needs to be said, for those who aren't huge hockey fans, that the Panthers acquiring and in his prime Matthew Tkachuk for a fading Jonathan Huberto was one of the great trades in NHL history. It's the reason the main reason the Panthers reached the Stanley Cup final last year. And one of the main reasons they're probably going to reach the Stanley Cup final this year.
I get the skepticism when it first happened, because Huberto was so good for us. He was coming off a career year. We didn't really know who Tkachuk was. We knew he was like a good player for Calgary. Like, he obviously came, like, obviously with the hindsight now, it's so obvious that it's a great trade for us, because Huberto has had one of the most historic fall-offs for a player. Like, it's so crazy that he's entrenched with this. Like, I get it at the beginning, but to still be entrenched with it is...
They really shorted the stock perfectly.
And Whitty is legitimately like a thinker.
Right.
Like, for him to be so entrenched and be so wrong is just crazy.
He's just hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to take the loss. You have to take the loss.
Tkachuk, you, Whitty.
That's right. No, that's a good song. I like that. We have to get to the lesser of two evils here, because you guys don't like either of these things.
The lesser of two evils is the lesser of two evils is, you know what it is?
What?
It's a commercial break.
Okay. Cuz I got big stuff coming up. Big stuff. Big stuff ahead.
I think we ended already, Dad.
Big stuff ahead. Big stuff. Mr. Big Stuff.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we're back, guys. Let me talk to you about Sheets and Giggles. Good Lord, is it sleep week? It's sleep month. It's sleep year. I just want to go to, after reading what I'm about to tell you guys, I just want to go take a nap because my sleep is so good with Sheets and Giggles, and I want you guys to have what I have. So listen up, because this is the month to save. All month long in March, 25% off site-wide. No code needed. And then sleep week, several sales now through Saturday, March 16th. That's it's sleep month, and this is sleep week. Okay, in the sleep month, this is sleep week. March 11th, nap day, 20% off site wide. March 13th, eucalyptus mattress up to $500 off. March 11th is nap day. March 13th, you can get $500 off your eucalyptus mattress. Plus, you can get their waterproof plant based mattress protector for free with code PROTECT on that March 13th. You get a free mattress cover if you buy a mattress and you get $500 off that mattress. That's March 13th. March 15th is World Sleep Day. Inside World Sleep Month, inside the Sleep Week, the 15th is World Sleep Day. 20% off site-wide, plus get a free pillow with every order using code SLEEP. I know that's confusing, but if you want good sleep, you go back and listen to what I just did and write that stuff down because it is good shit, guys. Sheetsgiggles.com/Greg. I love Sheets and Giggles, but this was a lot to read.
It really was.
But wait, there's more. Yep. Sunday, before our next episode, Sunday, St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, it's your chance to get lucky with code LUCKY. You can get 17% off. I'm bad at reading too. But you can get 17% off your order with code LUCKY. That's on top of the existing sleep month 25% off site-wide. So you get 25% on Sunday, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, 25% off site-wide, plus use code LUCKY, get an extra 17% off. Pretty cool stuff from Sheets and Giggles.
Greg, I want you to recite all that back to us.
That was the longest ad read in the history of podcasting or advertising.
And the most confusing.
Yeah.
But I think if people really go back and listen to that, there's good stuff to be had in March at sheetsgiggles.com/Greg. That's the moral of the story. Go ahead, Dad.
Sleep month.
Go on with your damn sleep dad jokes and whatever the hell.
Speaking of sleeping, he wants to get to the Ed Newman audio.
Yeah, the two evils to choose from are dad jokes / Three Facts Jack and the long-awaited controversial Ed Newman interview. Oh, so exciting. Which should we get to first?
You know what we should do is, Greg, if you have the video of this, we should just put the video out on YouTube and say, if you really want the Ed Newman audio, go watch it on YouTube.
Yeah, we can do that too.
Dad, that would, you don't want that.
Why?
Because that would, you would be like, wow, 14 people.
All right, let's talk about that Newman audio. So I did listen to it this week. Okay. I had not listened to it before because it was out of protest of Greg tricking us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
And no, you tricked us.
Yeah.
You did. You did. And but I think I would enjoy talking to Ed just like as a person.
Yeah, because you're a friendly guy. You'd say that about anybody. You're just a friendly guy that could talk to anybody.
I think it would be a fun conversation. Like, so I can get Greg feeling like his conversation with Ed was interesting. The listen back through this, Greg, was the hardest audio I've had to listen back through outside of the two brothers who were like stat nerds
who had
extra bad audio, just because that audio was terrible.
Yeah, the twins.
But Ed, and he seems like, because he's someone you can sit back and talk stories with. It didn't make for the most interesting audio. What was interesting to me was he played football at Duke with my cousin. That's not interesting to anybody else. But I looked up, I was like, Bob was there. My cousin Bob Bradley. He was there at the same time. Oh. And that's cool.
Yeah.
And considering Bob, big part of my family life, did a lot for my family. All other sorts of uninteresting anecdotes for people. But like, that's the most interesting thing to me about the whole story.
Dad, do you see where Ed Newman has taken us?
Except here is some audio from our conversation about Ed Newman where Greg got something wrong.
Let's take a trip down memory lane in Greg Cody's Wayback Machine.
Back in it.
One of his bailiffs was a former player of his, or a former teammate of his, Nat Moore. And
Nat Ed Moore? Newman,
yeah.
The receiver?
Yes.
Nat Moore was his bailiff?
Yes.
I thought Nat Moore does like Dolphins pregame.
He does now. I mean, we're talking about years and years ago. This guy was a county judge for almost 30 years. Okay.
Nowhere
in
the Ed Newman audio is the name Nat Moore mentioned.
Right. The gist of what I said was accurate. One of his bailiffs was a former teammate, but it was not Nat Moore.
Yeah,
it
that's
was
a huge...
A player named Tony Nathan.
Yeah. Will you just say you were wrong? Like the
I
length.
I just said I was wrong.
But I'm just saying that the amount that you tried to blame, you had Yeti listen back to blame Ed for this. Right. Like
I thought maybe Ed misspoke and told me it was Nat Moore.
I just love that you never were like, I clearly have no idea what I'm talking about here.
I misspoke two names. You know, sue me. it's not a felony. It's a misdemeanor. You give me a traffic ticket, I pay a $35 fine, and we move on.
Speaking of that, have you ever paid the fine bucket back for the $20 you took that should have gone to Jeremy that you used to pay the tip on your haircut?
Oh, yeah, that guy, which I need another haircut, by the way, if anybody wants to give me a free one.
But did you ever pay that $20 back to the fine bucket?
I don't recall.
Oh, great.
I don't recall.
He's not going to take a quiz.
I take the Fifth Amendment. It's my rights as an American. But before we listen to Ed, and this is a long-awaited conversation. I want to mention that he has a new book out called Warrior Judge, One Man's Journey from Gridiron to Gavel. And there's an event, just like Ron McGill and I did an event at Books and Books in Coral Gables for the Pride of a Lion. He has an event June 1st there for his own book. So if you live in the South Florida area and you're an old-timey big Dolphin fan and Ed Newman means something to you, please do consider attending the June 1st event at Books and Books in Coral Gables. The Warrior Judge, One Man's Journey from Gridiron to Gavel. Ed, if you were to start a national association of former NFL stars who went on to become longtime elected judges, how big would that group be?
I don't know about many, maybe half a dozen at most.
Okay, so you would be the president of a small association.
I think Ellen Page is a noteworthy Hall of Fame. They always dropped his name. It's I have great respect for anybody that follows a plan B, uses football as a springboard.
Yeah, for sure. The second half of your career, oddly enough, is interesting to me as the Dolphin career, because you spent the first part of your, after law school, you were an attorney for a while, and then you became a judge. Right. Yeah. Now, you may or may not have given up a lot of future earnings by going from attorney to judge. I don't know. But why did you make that move?
I hope I don't offend anybody. I'm a pretty pure person. And if I was going to be working in a litigation, I wanted to believe that I was a collaborating agent for the client. You don't get that luxury as an attorney. It's a business. You're a professional. Yeah. You want to get the best result for the client. But there's that little difference in my heart. Am I happy that I helped this criminal defendant? Or am I happy I helped this bad acting corporate fellow? So being a judge, you can really follow your conscience all the time. There's no end of the intellectual range that you can get into. And I found that very stimulating as well.
What percentage of attorneys before you knew full well of your Dolphins background and made sure that you knew it?
Almost all of them. There were a few that maybe harped on a stereotype and thought I would be easily persuaded by, sucking up, the Dolphins are great, that kind of dialogue. You were terrific, all pro. But my thinking was, don't blow any smoke.
Okay, so what type of case did you have? Was it DUIs? Was it domestic abuse?
The DUI was the bread and butter. all thefts and batteries. There were, you know, other things. You get all the improper trapping of animals or alligators and things like that.
Right.
I served in the county court for domestic violence. Very interesting. I did that early on when O.J. Simpson was having his trial. One of the reasons I was assigned there was because of O.J. And I was very happy to stand up for the NFL. They asked me, Linda Dacus is the administrative judge, can you be a messenger for the community that domestic violence is not all right? It's wrong. And
is it true that Tony Nathan, another former Dolphin of great renown, was your bailiff for many years?
Definitely true. And what a blessing. He's the sweetest man. He's hardworking, honest as rain. He's a friend all the time. I had a hard time talking to him to take the job. Bailiff. I don't know how to spell it. I don't know how to, you know, what I wouldn't know what to do. I said, trust me, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. And you're not going to regret it. So he kept quiet on it for a week and I needed a bailiff. So I, you know how I did it. Most guys should take care of things. They talked to his wife. I talked to his wife and then he became my bailiff.
Wow. That's interesting. That must have been a mind blower for you guys to, you know, just wink at each other once in a while and you know, like, can you believe this? I mean, I'm a judge, you're a bailiff, and who we used to be?
It was really incredible. And people identified us as the Dolphin Division.
Yeah.
In the court system. And it worked out well. It melded well.
It's hard for me to think of two occupations, two careers that would be more dissimilar than professional football, offensive lineman, and judge. And I wonder, is there any way for you to compare or contrast the satisfaction that you got from each of those things?
I have a pat answer for that because you're not the first to ask it. When I was 25, the best thing ever was pro football. When I was 45, the best thing ever was being a county court judge. The river changes as it flows.
Right.
So, you know, I wasn't the same person. Which do I like more? I got to say, you know, it's just in a youthful way, pro football is just so much fun. It's not work. It is work, but because you have to work at it to be the best. But.
Right. Yeah. Plus, in the county court, you don't have 70,000 people cheering for you when a touchdown is scored.
Yeah, they might be throwing spitballs or something, but not cheering.
I'm so interested to hear that this book is not just a book, but it's a family experience. It sounds like it's brought you two closer together, and I can really relate to that working with my own son. So that's a cool element of this whole story, and I encourage people to read the book.
Warrior Judge. Check it out on Amazon and Apple, all Barnes & Noble. All the outlets have it.
Yeah.
It's on digital form. It's hard copy and soft copy.
One thing I want to add is just so many of my dad's teammates are featured in the story, and they're such amazing, larger-than-life characters, and so many of them aren't around today, but they come to life on the pages. You're back with them. You're hearing their stories. You're remembering really special times on the field with them. And it's really precious. I just, you know, I think it's a touching story. It's, these are great people and we're really trying to honor them. And we're using my dad's story as a vehicle to bring them back.
That's great. Yeah. Well, it goes without saying that Miami Dolphins fans are going to eat this book up and need to buy it. But I think it tells a larger story, including father and daughter and overcoming stuff and just the idea that a pro football all-pro guard would become for almost 30 years an elected judge is I don't think there's many like you, and I congratulate you on your career.
Holly, I hope you don't mind this. Greg as well. I gotta say how much effort Holly put into this. It wasn't easy. I went through the experience. That's the journey. But to record it is a huge undertaking.
Yeah.
Much of that impetus came from Holly. And she pestered me. She nagged me. She made it happen. And congratulations, Holly. You're an author.
Well, Ed Newman and Holly, thanks for joining me on the podcast. I'm thrilled to be able to promote your book. And I hope it does very well for you. You have a great story to tell. So, and I'm sure it's told.
Part that I said hello and tell all the other folks as well.
We'll do.
Right?
Yeah. Thank you both.
Do you think Ed Newman's ever going to talk to you again after this?
Yeah, I think so. I actually got a very cordial email from his daughter and co-author, who told me that she loved the repartee on the Levitard show about the book, and I told her we were going to finally get to it.
Wait, she loved us debating whether he was an interesting
Yes. And she said, thank you for sticking up for my father. See, this is what's great about this whole thing. And this is why I love it.
I'm just saying, like, Yeti was just like, he's being honest, but we just, we're after the interview now, Dad. I don't know right. if you know how podcasting works.
Oh, no, I didn't know we'd heard it yet.
I still don't know what we played.
Well, we're playing 5 minutes, and I'm timing it.
No, I'm saying that, like, the way we've set this up is just, like, you know what I mean? Like, Yeti was being honest, saying, like, right. how uninteresting he thought it was.
Okay, and then, that's like, fine, though.
Like, I was clear. I don't know. I feel like it would have like just said, been...
I think I'd enjoy having dinner with Ed and talking to him about life and stuff.
There you go.
But I don't think it made for a really tough podcast listen.
Kick, save, and a butte.
Podcast listen.
Kick, save, and a butte. I'd have dinner with the guy.
But that's honest. I can see where Greg had an interesting conversation. It just doesn't translate to the listening audience that well. Okay. But maybe everyone go to our YouTube page. If we can find the video from Greg's computer, we'll post it there. Maybe. And we'll post the whole thing and you can tell us what you think.
One of the reasons why I've enjoyed this whole back and forth on whether or not we should play the Ed Newman thing is that it's taking people behind the curtain of our podcast, which is I'm an older guy, a Miami Herald writer. I remember Ed Newman. I didn't cover him, but I certainly remember him and all he meant to the franchise. And you two are younger and we have a younger demographic of listeners and that's your concern and should be. And you were worried that this interview just didn't fit our demographic. And I respect that. But I'm coming in the defense of my old timer as an old timer.
Did you hear about the Cat Williams, Shannon Sharp interview?
Yeah.
It was like the biggest thing on the internet in probably 6 months. Like probably right. This happened a couple of months, like maybe a month or two back.
Yeah, I think we talked about it at the time.
Yeah, yeah. Like it probably, I think it had hundreds of millions of views. Like I'm talking, like I just heard Shannon Sharp talking about how much money he made off of that one like video. Right. Like it was more than any season he ever made football. Like he made more on that video than he ever made. What you did with Ed Newman is the exact if there's a spectrum, if there's like a spectrum on the internet of like what pops with people,
right?
And we're trying to be like 3%, like you know what I mean? Like obviously way less than 3%. Like we are trying to be such a small and you're Ed Newman. If we were just like stacking up all the content made across the land,
right?
Like do you just? I just need you to know where that falls.
Yeah. Okay, like, let me give. All right, let me make a shocking statement. When I book a guest and talk to him, I'm not concerned with making
whether
money.
Whether it's interesting, whether it's interesting, and whether people want to hear it.
Yeah, I am concerned with that, and I thought people would be interested in hearing from a prominent former Dolphins player who was a longtime judge and just wrote a book.
I appreciated your energy in the interview, by the way.
This is starting to feel like a sucker's bet, Chris. Like, we're going to take so many L's on this. We're going to get destroyed.
Oh, no.
Everyone's going to cape up for Greg, and even if they're lying.
No.
You know, we'll find out. I will put a poll, but I fear for my life.
I know what's right.
We should do a poll.
We might get crushed, but we're right.
No, this says "Help me, Rhonda" written all over it, Chris.
No, there I know. You go. I'm not saying that we won't get crushed. I'm saying I know that we are right on this. Right.
Yeah. If Ed Newman was named Rhonda, I would have asked him the same thing about how often does people say "Help me, Rhonda" to Ed Newman.
Greg, I think my son wants to take my job.
I heard that your son was plotting to kill Christopher or something in order to.
Yeah. So this is funny. The other day he uses our shower because my daughter won't let him use their shower. or she just takes too much time in there. So he's in our shower. He never remembers to bring a towel.
I don't either. I'm bad with that.
Oh gosh. And then he drenches our floor. I mean, like I slip in puddles all the time because
how old your kid?
He's 10.
I'm your 10-year-old kid. Like yeah, I'm constantly stepping out of the shower and yelling to my daughter or my wife, I need a towel.
So I'm going to bring a towel into him one day and I hear him trying to work through a song. He's just kind of singing in the shower and I hear Greg Cody. And I'm like, oh no. Oh, he's trying to write Greg Cody songs in the shower like me. And so,
God bless him.
But then the other day in music class, they're toying around with this thing where they take samples and like music samples, beats and stuff. And he's actually sequencing them in and he put together this kind of cool sounding like song. And we're having trouble getting it from his computer to mine right now.
Are you nervous, Yeti? Are you nervous? Are you nervous?
I was really impressed. And he says, maybe I can do some songs for the Greg Cody show one day. I was like, that would be great. And then he said, maybe I can have your job one day. And I was like, what the hell, kid? And then he said, after Greg isn't doing, or something, when Chris leaves the show or something like that, and I can't remember if he was killing off Chris or saying Chris would leave and I would take Chris's spot and then he would take mine. Either way, he's trying to take my job and I'm kind of nervous.
Well, you should be.
He would be cheaper. I'm gonna pull a Mike Ryan and step down as EP but still be on the show.
I know. They can still get paid.
We onboard a 10-year-old Wilco.
Mm-hmm. That would be great. I want to hear that song, by the way. I want to hear Wilco's song at the earliest possible.
One day you will.
Because I feel like, although...
I love how Yeti, for the first time, can't get a song to work. I mean, I love how he's Yeti trying to keep his son down.
I know, right?
Yeah. Yeti's like, did you notice that he threw in a, we're still trying to get it to my computer. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Well, I tried to log in, and since he wasn't in music class this week, we can't log in, so we have to wait for his next music cycle for some weird reason. Some odd reason.
Your voice got a little higher there.
Yeah, Wilco would come cheap, by the way, cheaper than Yeti. I feel like I could pay Wilco in a bag of Milk Duds or something, and he'd be thrilled. A Happy Meal. I don't know. What does a 10-year-old eat? You know what I mean? Here's a Happy Meal, kid. Continue to produce my show for me. But anyway, I want to get to dad jokes and three facts, Jack, because I think they may be the best ever.
I think the episode's over.
No, it isn't. There's always time for dad jokes and three facts, Jack. I still want imaging for dad jokes. I don't know. Have Wilco write me a little dad jokes intro jingle, will you?
Shit. Dad, before we get to that good stuff that you got there.
Yeah, and it is good.
It is Oscar Monday. We're supposed to recap the Oscars that we haven't watched yet because it's Saturday.
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
Because we're recording this Saturday. Yeah. But
how'd that Oscar party go to that you went to Sunday?
It was great.
Yeah. It was on the stained carpet, right?
Thanks for asking about it. But what I want to bring up with the Oscars is how you used to, because dad, you were doing shtick like before you were ever on podcasts or radio. Like I remember watching anytime the Oscars would be on, it would just be dad's night to criticize actors.
Oh yeah.
And say how easy it is and say how you could be an actor. It would be like a tradition unlike any other where Michael, you and Michael would always butt heads because Michael would get so furious at you when you were just doing, you were doing shtick. Because I remember before we were ever doing content, I would say to you, like, he doesn't even believe what he's saying. Like, he's just trying to rile Michael up, but he always bit it and he always got so mad at you for saying that you could be an actor.
Yeah, Michael and I used to have spirited discussions because I'm pretty good at faking like I'm serious about something. And Michael respects actors and really loves movies.
So it was a full bit or you do think you could be an actor?
No, there's a lot of truth in that. And here's what I mean. Okay, here's the way I compare it. Okay, I could, and not just because I'm short, I could never play in the NBA. Okay, I could never have a play a full game in Major League Baseball without embarrassing myself.
So anything that doesn't have insane athletic ability is achievable by anyone?
I think like acting. I think the very act of pretending to be something else is not that difficult.
What about
on a scale of difficult?
Dad, you yourself can draw so well. Dad, we hear that. You didn't meet yourself.
Sorry. Go ahead. What were you saying?
What did I just say?
You were complimenting his drawing ability.
Yeah, I'm saying you are such a good drawer.
Thank you.
Like by your logic with acting, it's not that physically hard to draw. I think if I really like I could be a great. It's like no, some people are just really good at it.
I'm not saying I would be a great actor. What I'm saying is you could hire me for a bit role where I'm the guy walking. I'm a cameo appear. I'm walking in the background. What's so tough about that?
Haven't you had a cameo appearance in a film?
Yes.
Yeah, he was in Absence of Malice.
Absence of Malice.
Yeah.
I'm on screen for like 2 or 3 seconds. Sally Field was in that movie.
My dad with like great hair and like a big stash, right? Didn't you have
the
hair?
I think so.
And he's just like sitting like all cool on like a desk.
Yeah.
Like just like looking at a paper as she like walked through the room.
You could look it up. I had a bit part in that. So did the aforementioned Hal Habib. And I'm raging jealous because Hal Habib has a much bigger bit part than I do. Yeah, he's walking in the background. What year was it? I want to say early 80s.
Absence of Malice, 81.
It was filmed at the Miami Herald building. That was interesting. But yeah, I don't think acting on a scale of what difficult jobs, I just don't think it's that great. I respect really good actors, but I think as a general statement, it's just not that difficult to do, quite frankly. And your mother stopped watching the Oscars with me because I would annoy her because she watches all the pregame show, the red carpet, oh, and what are you wearing?
That. That's the only good part of it, honestly.
And I would always make fun of the what are you wearing question, you know, because it's so self, it's like, who cares whether it's a Versace dress or a this dress? I mean, I just don't care. It's worth making fun of. There's so much about the Oscars that are worth making fun of. You know how much the gift bag, all these actors get a gift bag, even if they don't win, they get a gift bag. You know how much that gift bag is worth? Like there's about $150,000 worth of stuff in that gift bag. The rich get richer. These people don't need $150,000 gift bags. How about you give a gift bag to homeless people who need the money? Put some Big Macs in the gift bag and then, you know, feed people.
How about you clear your throat, man?
My throat is clear. My conscience is clear. No, I'll watch the Oscars. I will. Watch the Oscars.
Thank you. They'll appreciate that.
I won't attend a Levitard event and watch it to be seen on YouTube watching the Oscars, but I will watch the Oscars. In fact, I did since we're coming out Monday. I thought it was a great program. Disagreed with a couple of the winners, but I really thought it was wonderful. I thought Absence of Malice should have been re-nominated for Best Picture. That was a big disappointment.
What do you think of Giamatti with that Best Actor award?
I'm a big fan of Paul Giamatti.
Did he win?
Yeah, I think he won. I have been ever since Sideways.
I don't think he won. I think Cillian Murphy won.
No, Giamatti won. He tipped me. The whole thing is fixed. He tipped me. He and I are friends, and he tipped me off that he was going to win. So
this is going to age if he wins, because he's a big underdog right now.
Is he the underdog? Was he the underdog?
Like, those are the top two. Cillian Murphy's like the favorite because he won the SAG, and the SAG is a big indicator. I talked to Adnan. I love how we're talking about this after it's happened. So, like, Cillian Murphy is probably going to win. If Giamatti won, it's an upset, and you look like a genius.
Good.
Because it happened beforehand.
I can honestly tell you that I have never heard of Cillian Murphy, could not name a movie he was in, and could not pick him out of a police lineup. Never heard of him.
Batman Begins.
Okay. Begins what?
There's an airplane. Red Eye. Those are the two I know outside of Oppenheimer. But Greg, I used to have a Bartlett Giamatti baseball card.
Really?
Yeah.
The commissioner.
Donruss 91, I think. I think it was after he passed away.
Wow.
But I remember like watching TV when they announced the commissioner of baseball, Bartlett Giamatti, has sadly passed away, blah, blah, blah.
Right. And, he went by Bart, didn't he?
Giamatti. Bart Giamatti. Mm-hmm.
Well, since when are commissioners on baseball cards?
Yeah, I think it was post-mortem.
Oh, yeah. Okay, what an odd-looking man.
Yeah, but Cillian Murphy. Yeah, no, he is kind of, it's odd-looking. He's handsome, but he does have a unique look, and I think that's one of the things that makes him appealing on screen. It's interesting.
Is he handsome?
To look out. Yeah, I think so. Okay. He has piercing eyes. His eyes will just like look straight through you. It's, you know, so yeah.
Okay.
He might not be like, but like I said, it's an interesting handsome. I find him handsome. It's an interesting handsome.
Okay, yeah.
It's not just like.
Yeah, he's not my type.
Let's do dad jokes.
Okay, number three. What did the boat say to the oar on Valentine's Day?
What is it? Say it again.
What did the boat say to the oar on Valentine's Day? Time's up.
I'm wood. I don't.
You're so romantic.
I'm wood is funny. I'm rock hard would be funny.
What the hell? Number two, why don't dentists and manicurists get along? They're always fighting tooth and nail.
Okay.
Number one, why did the two red...
So you said before this that this was like, this is the best you've ever done.
Yeah. What I've learned is that when Yeti says, okay, that's actually good. That's a favorable. That means,
I get it, but it didn't make me laugh. It's like, okay, all right, that passes, but I didn't laugh.
Number one, why did the two red blood cells break up? Their romance was in vain.
Ah, in vain.
Three facts, Jack.
There are three things that interest him, so sit right back for three facts, Jack.
Number three. Commercial ships love the Panama Canal because it takes only 8 to 10 hours to pass through rather than 2 weeks to go around Cape Horn. But the Panama Canal is neither free nor cheap. The average cost per ship is $150,000. Number two.
Cape Horny.
The moon has craters because celestial bodies like asteroids and comets crash into it all the time. Most are very small, but an average of at least once a week, the moon is hit by a meteor large enough to cause an explosion equal to 2 tons of TNT.
I'm seeing here that there is a Cape Horny.
There's a Cape Horn.
No, I know, but I just looked up Cape Horny.
There's a town in North Carolina called Horny Town.
Wow.
I had a buddy with a Horny Town, North Carolina Fire Department t-shirt.
I'm seeing some sort of hiking trail. I don't know where this is.
Cape Horny.
It's not far from where I'm from either. Like, yeah, Horny Town's real close.
6.4 miles, 1,400 elevation. Let me zoom out here where this is.
Okay.
Portland, near Portland.
Portland. Maine or Oregon?
I think Oregon.
Oh, Horny Town is like right by where Lucy's from.
I love how we're talking about two different horny things.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's on the other side of the county.
Horny Town.
It's right by where Streeter's from.
Horny Town's right where Streeter. Lucy's from.
Yeah, Horny Town's near Streeter. Not that anyone gives a crap. But
yeah, including me.
I did not know that Streeter came from Horny Town.
He came from very close to Horny Town.
Don't we all, Yeti?
Typically, Horny Town, somebody had to be in Horny Town.
My dad, you know, earlier when he was talking about, you know, restaurants and, you know, that my dad was at Horny Town. Anyways.
Yeah. We'll have a staff meeting. We'll schedule a staff meeting about my three-pack stack constantly being interrupted by non sequiturs.
Thank you. Thank you for referencing a staff after talking about Horny Town.
Baby!
But also, Chris, so from here going forward, we will never comment on a Three Facts Jack. We will sit in silence. Go ahead, Greg. Proceed.
We're doing is called saving you.
Number one, irony defined. It was a dentist, Dr. William J. Morrison, who in 1897 invented the cotton candy machine.
Good for him.
How about that?
Was that better for you, what we did there?
You said good for him. I appreciated it.
I know, but like, that's like...
I mean, you don't, you know, when a dentist, it'd be like, you know, going to see your cardiologist and he's smoking a cigarette.
Three Facts, you know, Jack, is brought to you by Ed Newman Audio. Get all your best deals at Ed Newman Audio.
I like it.
Ed Newman.
All right, what else we got? Should we wrap it up or we got anything else?
Wrap up your staff.
Well, what is... I meant
Horny
to
Horny Town!
I would hike Cape Horny.
I would too. Is it spelled with an E or just H-R-O-N-Y? Horny?
Yep.
Okay.
Should we go as a show to Horny Town? I mean, or to Cape Horny?
If the show wants to have like a meetup with fans at Cape Horny and we do a 6.4 mile hike where we go travel up 1400 feet.
My wife, Christopher, your mother had a friend growing up named Barbara Horny.
No, she didn't.
Yeah, she did.
It was Barbara Nelson's.
No, you want me to get her in here?
And ask Barbara, her about Horny?
Barbara Horny? Yeah.
Oh.
You want to get Barbara Horny?
No.
That's the last thing I want to do.
Okay. You'll have to trust me on this one.
I'll trust you.
She had a friend named Barbara Horny.
Send us out, Greg.
Okay. Anyway, thank you all. Thanks, special guest Ed Newman. Glad to finally get him on. His book is called Warrior Judge.
You got
One
him on?
One Man's Journey from Gridiron to Gavel.
Did you get him off?
We got him on the podcast, and we're happy to have it. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate your help. Appreciate your ears. Even if they're prosthetic ears, we like that you're listening. See you next week.
I got a fart.
I did a few times during the episode.
Nice.